This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Let's hear more about our in-season sponsor for the second straight year.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsborough.
Love to go to Hooters, watch football, talk to the world-famous Hooters girls, especially the wonderful girls that have taken care of us in our podcast leagues and podcast events here in the greater Tampa Bay area. Ty, a 2019 calendar girl who generally works behind the bar for Thursday night football, guys. That's your cue. Saints Cowboys next Thursday night. Want to guess where I'll be? Yep. Sitting at Ty's Bar at Hillsborough Avenue Hooters. Also, you can visit Tony is the manager at Hooters, 4th Street North, St. Pete. Ask for Rain. She was one of the lovely girls that took care of us when we did our season opener. Daily fantasy event, the night of Eagles-Falcons. For as fast as the season is going by, that event seems like it was 6 months ago, the night of the opening game. Thanks to Original Hooters, 12 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area for those of you elsewhere in the state of Florida, the United States, and around the world. Please seek out your nearest Hooters location for football and fun for the remainder of this football season. Not much left with college, and we're really here. I mean, for most leagues, this and next week is it. Before you start your playoffs or your battle to avoid last place, which often comes with a penalty in certain leagues. Before I go any further, remember my email. I've been getting some really, really good emails the last few weeks. Keep them coming. Even started a dialogue with some people on a regular basis. I don't mind it at all. Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com, Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. Again, all I want to be is a second opinion for you. That's it. You make the final call on whether a player is roster worthy, needs to be in your lineup. Trade deadline, if you pushed it back, I think it's today or tomorrow. I always like to push the trade deadlines back in my leagues just because it's fun to have trades this late in the season. Yeah, you got to be careful, right? You don't want collusion between the bad team in last sending a great player to the team in first. That's where a last place penalty prevents some of that or anything involving last place. So, look, I'm not telling you. I didn't have a last place penalty in our league for a while, but now we do a fun one. For those of you who are Seinfeld fans, remember when Kramer got the ass man plate? Yeah. Well, I have the plate. And if you finish last in our league, you're the ass man. And you have to put the plate on the front of your car for anywhere from a week to a month. And we had an owner who embraced it. And Seinfeld fans loved it so much, he kept it on his car the entire off season. So it's funny, but yeah, you are the ass man. Some are... little bit more permanent, like a bad tattoo picked by the winner of the league. I'm not asking you to do that. But if you do have sort of a last place penalty or tournament, it does prevent someone whose season is otherwise over from just dumping players and colluding with someone to win the league because it's like, no, they need that player to avoid being last place. And no one wants to be last. So there is some value in that. But I like pushing back trade deadlines in the podcast league, the governors of lavish fantasy football. Harumph. I pulled off a trade this week with one of our fine owners who I did a trade with earlier in the year. Earlier in the year, I sent him a running back when he needed one. Lindsay of the Broncos, who's been very consistent for him, and he sent me a receiver that I needed at the time because I didn't have anything other than DeAndre Hopkins, and he sent me John Brown. John Brown right now doesn't look like someone I would play and hasn't had a few good weeks, but John Brown's won me some fantasy games, namely when he caught that touchdown at the end of that. What was the game? Justin Tucker missed the extra point because I was playing Flacco also. That was a stack, and it won me the game against one of our podcast owners and listeners, Mr. Barker. So I did another trade with him this week. Ironically, he now has extra running back, so he sent me one. So because I'm trying to push to make the playoffs, he needed a wide receiver. I sent him a wide receiver. Ironically, both Patriots. We did a Patriot for Patriot deal. Couldn't be more equal, even according to the weekly rankings on RotoWorld from Patrick Daugherty. I sent him Julian Edelman. I have no need to play Edelman this week. And as far as next week is concerned, and I got to win now. But as far as next week is concerned, I don't see any reason. There could be an injury. But I do have some help. But anyway, I sent him Edelman. He sent me James White. Now, some of you are worried about Tom Brady's status because there's for the first time all year, he was on the injury report with a knee, and then illness was added. This might have been a factor if the Patriots played on Thursday. At this point, it certainly doesn't feel like Bill Belichick's going to pull a Matt Nagy and say, you know what, we're good, and go with the backup. It's not the Patriot. It just doesn't seem like the Patriot way. So, but keep checking status as it relates to that. Of course, Brady's fantasy numbers have been down recently relative to many other quarterbacks with so many passing yards and passing touchdowns out there. It's why I didn't, at the end of last year, I noticed some things, and we talked about them in the podcast. It's why I didn't draft Tom Brady this year and have had no interest in trying to trade for him, even in my two quarterback league. Nevertheless, keep checking status on Tom Brady. But I like the late trade deadlines and last place penalties prevent collusion between bad owners sending players to good teams and otherwise. I even tried to pull off a big deal in the podcast league for a huge RB1, and it was an owner who unfortunately isn't going to make playoffs. But I still tried to make the deal worth his while by sending him a couple players he did want and a replacement player for the one I was getting. So I still felt you can make the case it was a fair deal because of the players in the deal, the quantity, and some of the risk I was taking on with an additional player who is coming off an injury and has a questionable status this week, that being AJ Green. Let's review Thursday real quick. From the early game, for those of you like me who own Mitchell Trubisky, as I own him in our two-quarterback league, the Foundation League, so I had to sit Trubisky. The Bears were not playing coy on that. I guess the thought was if they played on Sunday, Trubisky could have gone. They got by with Chase Daniel. It did lessen the value of virtually every other Bear player. I benched Tariq Cohen in the podcast league as a result of this. Cohen ended up doing okay. He just got into double digits in standard scoring leagues with that touchdown reception. But I have since replaced him in my starting lineup with the James White trade. So, from the Lions standpoint, Matt Patricia was going to feed LeGarrette Blount with Kerryon Johnson out and did. And that was really kind of the play in that game. But again, Blount way too touchdown dependent. There aren't many running backs like that anymore in fantasy football. Get away from that next year. The running backs are like, well, they'll get the goal line touches. No, because it's too random. It's too sporadic. You need guys who are going to be consistent. And those guys, the touchdown dependent guys, they're not going to put up the explosive numbers that you need to win in fantasy football now. They're not going to give you 20 to 30 a week. Now, I know a guy like Eric Ebron is considered touchdown dependent, but you actually go back to like week 3, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there, he was consistently getting 11 to 15 targets. And just as the Colts have evolved now as an offense and just continue to win, Luck is using a lot of different targets and a lot of different tight ends. So despite Ebron being one of the highest scoring tight ends in fantasy football, and I mean, I own him in one of my leagues, I'm not playing him this week just because there's no consistent target volume. He wasn't targeted once last week. T.Y. Hilton went off for a big game, showing he is fully recovered from that hamstring injury about a month or so ago. Speaking of hamstring injuries, Melvin Gordon, this is not good news for those of you that have been so happy with Melvin Gordon, and then Melvin Gordon goes down with a hamstring injury and you don't have him for a week, and then he comes back and has a huge game. You're like, okay, I can deal with him missing him for one game. You might be without him this game. The Chargers may feel they can get by the Arizona Cardinals without Melvin Gordon, just using Austin Eckler and the arm of Phillip Rivers. I worry that last week's gag by the Chargers was the start of another. And I don't hang this on Phillip Rivers. It's just kind of a Charger thing that no matter how good they look near the end of the year, it just feels like it gets away from them. And that game against Denver totally did, right at the time of year where it's like, does this start the Chargers going in the wrong direction? I know Arizona is nearly a 2-touchdown underdog. And the last time they were, I fell into the trap of thinking it was a trap game for the Chiefs looking ahead to the Ram game, and it wasn't. But I worry about the Chargers, and if you're a Melvin Gordon owner, I'd be worried and keep checking status on that. That'll be tricky because it's obviously going to be a late start, whether you know Gordon is inactive or not. So make sure you're following that, and you have options to put another running back in if you find out Gordon is inactive or not going to help you come, what, 3 o'clock-ish on Sunday. Back to the review of Thursday. So we talked about the Bears and the Lions. Amari Cooper exploded. So there's one of your explosive numbers. So those of you that have Amari Cooper, really for the first time this year, and for the first time since Amari Cooper had a 3-touchdown game on, what was it, a color rush Thursday night in Oakland against the Chiefs, Cooper puts up a huge number. Ezekiel Elliott, again, puts up a big number. Dak Prescott, as a result of that 90-yard touchdown to Amari Cooper and the one, what, 3 plays before that of, 40 yards. Prescott, I believe, also had a rushing touchdown. So Dak has had late value. Either as a back-end plug-and-play QB1 or definitely good value as a QB2 in 2-quarterback leagues. Nothing much was working for the Redskins. One of the things about the Cowboy defense, they limit explosive plays. They came into the game against the Redskins, number one in the NFL, preventing plays of 20 yards or more. Cowboys won 3 in a row and right now have the look of, I'm not saying they'll win the NFC East, but most people who look at that division, they see a Redskin team that never impressed them in the first place and lost Alex Smith. Oh, we've had 2 scary quarterback leg injuries in consecutive weeks. Alex Smith, and then I was at UCF, USF yesterday when Mackenzie Milton went down. And you just don't like to see it. The Milton tackle and everything, it didn't, I don't want to get into how graphic the leg injury was, but the tackle reminded me of the one in the Ram game where Carson went. Anyway, so that's the way it looks from the Cowboys standpoint, because the Eagles just can't seem to do anything right now. So Redskins down a quarterback, Eagles doing nothing. It's not going to be the Giants. It might be the Cowboys by default. Winning the NFC East and hosting a playoff game against someone like the Seahawks or, I guess, the Vikings in a wild card game where the Cowboys might not even be favored. And then the late game, it was another disappointing week for us Kamara and Thomas owners. I stacked both. Been great all year. But neither Kamara nor Thomas get in the end zone. There was no Traquan Smith. Drew Brees threw 4 touchdowns to 4 guys. None of you own in season-long leagues. None of you. Nope, don't lie. None of you own in season-long leagues. Daily, this is where multiple people who, people that play daily and make money off daily, those are the type of guys they play because they play so many entries that when they have that player, it just jumps them over everyone when they score and have a good game. But it was obviously a good game for Drew Brees. Not a lot for Mark Ingram either. And the Falcons, boy, I talked about the Chargers going into a late season swoon, and was last week the beginning of that. Atlanta looked done, the previous week or two, and it just continued. I mean, what they turned it over, I believe, three times inside the red zone. Falcons just didn't do anything for their fantasy owners, their fans, or people who bet on them getting 13.5, especially with that late turnover right on the goal line. All right, so still a week, if you haven't already, with one of the first three Thanksgiving games. Let's run it down. You know, some of the biggest performers in fantasy this year: Mahomes, Goff, Gurley, Hunt, Hill, Woods, Cooks, Kelsey. You got none of them on Sunday. So I would imagine, other than maybe quarterback, because some of you choose not to carry a backup quarterback in single quarterback leagues. I get that. Let me make one comment about that. I get that you want to use the roster spot if you have a quarterback that, like, never misses a game, and you know you're never going to sit him, and the bye week is way off. I mean, this is a late bye week. Thanksgiving week, Rams and Chiefs off because they were supposed to be playing in Mexico. Here's what you should have done. Last week, before the game start, go out and grab yourself a quarterback. Look at the matchups, grab yourself a quarterback. For example, I did that in advance of this week. I don't own Mahomes. My bad. You know, I wasn't a buyer on Mahomes the entire offseason and into training camp. I wasn't, so I didn't draft him. And I don't own Goff. But I looked ahead to this week, and I didn't know about the Trubisky injury, but I was like, you know, I might want to grab Nick Mullins. Just because he's sitting there, I know he's going to play. He's been good. He's going to be off a bye week. That's going to help him. And they're playing the Bucs. So I get to play Mullins in place of Trubisky this week. Grabbing Nick Mullins would have been smart for those of you that were Mahomes or Goff owners a week in advance, because it was tough to predict who was going to quarterback the Bucs. I know, there's expectations on any Buccaneer quarterback. Here's my caution about the Buccaneer quarterbacks, and of course I do the Bucs Bulletin each week for the Tampa Bay fans and the Tampa Bay audience. This is why I don't think necessarily grabbing those Buc quarterbacks is a QB1 play. What was the game against us? What was the game they put up three? The Washington game, right? They don't score enough touchdowns. Like, even Jameis Winston almost had a rushing touchdown. Instead, he fumbles. Mike Evans falls on it in the end zone. You don't get six from Jameis Winston. Mike Evans' owners fell into six more points. So I think there's QB2 value or plug and play value there, but not every week QB1 value there. Just because the Bucs struggle too many times where they're near the red zone. And they're not scoring touchdowns these days. And it looks like they finally have a kicker to get them through the end of the year. But I'm sure that issue will resurface at some point in the near future when Jason Light, Dirk Cutter, and virtually everybody are gone going into next year. So plug and play options at quarterback. If you're in a single quarterback league for Mahomes and Goff, no, I'm not big on Tannehill. I think you can do better elsewhere. Josh Rosen, I tried that one week. It didn't do me much. I want to like Josh Rosen. Maybe he would have been better off with Byron Leftwich all year as the offensive coordinator. Maybe he just needs more time. Larry Fitzgerald catches two balls last week, both for touchdowns. Lamar Jackson is going to go. The rushing yards alone make Lamar Jackson fantasy relevant. If he can rush for 100 yards, that's 10 points right there. And that gets you by, right? Think about it. If Lamar Jackson doesn't throw for 1 yard passing, doesn't throw for a pick, doesn't throw for a touchdown, if he rushes for 100 yards, and let's say this week he gets in the end zone, let's say Lamar Jackson's numbers against the Raiders go like this. 8 of 13 for 80 yards, no touchdowns, but he rushes for 100 yards on however many carries and gets a rushing touchdown. That's almost 20 points in standard scoring leagues. Yeah. I don't see any – it's not like overnight the Ravens are going to cut Lamar Jackson loose and let him start throwing it all over the yard. Gus Edwards, and not sure. I mean, Alex Collins has checked that status. I think Gus will be on the field, but I mean, I picked up Gus Edwards, but I didn't want to play him this week. That's why I traded for James White after benching Tariq Cohen with Mitchell Trubisky out. But Lamar Jackson, yeah. Yeah, I think that might be your best option out there. Maybe even better than Jameis Winston or Nick Mullins as a plug and play. Just because, remember, it's simple math. In standard scoring leagues, quarterbacks get 1 yard for every 1 point for every 25 yards. They get 1 point for every 10 yards rushing. Lamar Jackson has a 100-yard rushing day. Gets in the end zone. That's 16 right there. Doesn't seem like much, does it? Now, a quarterback rushing for 100 yards is very rare, but Lamar Jackson did it last week in his first start. The Raiders have a very, very bad defense. I don't think John Harbaugh, was it Marty Morningwig? How old is he? How long has he been around? Are they going to change anything? I doubt it. Can the Raiders force him? I mean, the Raiders could bring 9 men up. Sure. I don't think they're going to do that. So that's where we're at with Lamar Jackson and Gus Edwards. I'm trying to think if anyone else would be a plug-and-play option if you didn't roster a backup quarterback in advance of this week and knowing, you know, Dak Prescott's already played. I wouldn't have played Chase Daniel. Eli, maybe. I mean, the Giants have at least looked like a football team in recent weeks. But those seem like your only options. All right. So, and on Gurley, for you Gurley owners who are still sort of like, why weren't we in on all the scoring on Monday night? I think McVay was being cautious, obviously, with Gurley, and then the bye week. I would expect you will have a Gurley ready to finish your regular season, and you're hoping he gives you the push in the playoffs that he gave fantasy owners last year in the playoffs. And yes, we will be doing bonus podcasts for the fantasy playoffs. I haven't decided yet how I'm going to do it, whether I'm just going to do it for championship week or what, but we will have bonus podcasts coming up at some point for your fantasy playoffs. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Email me any fantasy questions that you have for your season-long leagues, or I always encourage you, you can email me DFS questions or just tell me your DFS stories of your lineups and if this happened or this happened, because I play these DFS. This year, almost exclusively, I've been playing the one-game showdowns where you pick a captain and you spend 50% more money on that player, but you get 50% more points on that player. Again, I haven't figured it out the way I did in the NBA playoffs when I won money every game, but it's still fun. And fortunately, the first $20 I put in on DraftKings now 2.5 years ago, I've never had to put any more money in. I'm just playing off the winnings, so it's just fun. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. My thanks to Hooters for their in-season sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Let me also remind you, the Eagles Golf Club will be hosting Todd Wright Tour 18, which will be the third installment of our Good versus Evil annual format. That'll be coming up on Super Bowl Saturday. If you are in the Tampa Bay area, Dave Lauterbaugh, who I met at the 102.5 The Bone Real Raw Open, reached out to me via email this morning and said he wants a foursome in Good versus Evil 3. Thank you, Dave. We would love to have you at Good vs. Evil 3. Tournament is not on sale yet. I'm still finalizing some details with the lovely Courtney Fox and the fine people at the Eagles Golf Club on food and other logistics, so I can price the event appropriately and, as always, inexpensive to give you the most value I can. So just email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com if you want information on playing in Good versus Evil Part 3 Super Bowl Saturday at the Eagles Golf Club, just on the fringe of Oldsmar in Odessa, 36 holes of semi-private gated community golf that I always enjoy, and I host an event there every year. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I hope you had an enjoyable Thanksgiving Day, and good luck this weekend.